nationale Solidarität
noch nach dem Eigentum, Kampf,
und mit denen um ihre Rechte verteilt werden,
Kolleginnen und Demokratie.
Daher senden wir von dieser Veranstaltung solidarische Grüße an die Opel-Belegschaft und ihren Betriebsrat in Bochum. Es darf nicht sein, dass sie jetzt mit einer vorgezogenen Werksschließung dafür bestraft werden, dass sie sich nicht weiter den Erpressungen dieses Konzerns beugen wollen. Wenn dieses Exempel nicht verhindert wird, werden die Weichen auf Unterwerfung unter die Mächtigen gestellt, statt auf den gemeinsamen Kampf. Hier ist die Solidarität der Gewerkschaften und aller fortschrittlichen Menschen in diesem Land gefragt. Liebe Genossinnen und Genossen, Freundinnen und Freunde, ich muss keine lange Mai-Rede halten. Wer sich vorne die Textblätter geholt hat, sieht all das, was an inhaltlichen Punkten in eine Mai-Rede einer kommunistischen Partei gehört, hat David in seinen Liedern verpackt. Deswegen freue ich mich ganz herzlich, ganz sehr, sehr, dass wir jetzt mit dem Konzert beginnen können. Ich danke euch. Wer sich nicht wert lebt, verkehrt. Glück auf, David. Thank you.
Guten Abend. Ja. Last spring, I was watching the Republican debates, and hopefully you were not, but I was inspired to verse. You have all the lyrics, by the way, the texts, yeah? If you want. Nobody will blame you if you're looking at them. It's okay. I turned on my TV. Though it was hard to see these men who would be head of state. What a great country from sea to shining sea. We watch the Republicans debate. Newt stood with his third wife and said, you bet your life the president is a red. He wants to tax the rich a lot. Take your limo and your yacht. He wants to have the bankers' heads. And if he gets in again, he'll paint the White House pink and then he'll hire Chavez as his VP. Then we'll be right on track to give capitalism the sack along with the insurance industry. If only it were true, if only it were true, I'd be so happy, wouldn't you? If only it were true, if only it were true, if only it were true. That's the chorus. They're all sing-alongs, by the way, in case you feel like singing. Of course, you know, it's only a sing-along if you've heard it before, and, you know, it becomes a sing-along at the end of the song after it's over, and then it's not very sing-along-able, but... He'll give everyone food stamps and wheelchair ramps. He'll subsidize windmills and maple syrup. He'll cripple industries with eco-friendly policies, and pretty soon we will be just like Europe. He'll shut down oil wells, give out solar cells to every home in Delaware and Illinois. He'll ban logging in the parks. He'll send the works of Karl Marx to the homes of every American girl and boy. He'll abolish pesticides. He'll be giving out free rides and free lunches, too, in his high-speed trains. He'll start lots of public works full of union perks. He'll fill all the cities up with bicycle lanes. If only it were true, if only it were true, I'd be so happy, wouldn't you? If only it were true, if only it were true, if only it were true. Watch out, his critics tell. This shall be our death knell. He'll pull the troops out and end all of our wars. He'll gut military spending. Our empire will be ending, and soon we'll be invaded by the Moors. He'll legalize all drugs, give away beer mugs and hookahs to every child and Korans. He'll ban religions from the schools, give 40 acres and a mule to every person who makes less than 50 grand. He'll close Guantanamo to torture, he'll say no. He'll make us all drive electric cars. He'll reinstate the fairness doctrine, take off that damn flag pin, and he'll put Rupert Murdoch behind bars. If only it were true, if only it were true, I'd be so happy, wouldn't you? If only it were true, if only it were true, if only it were true. If only it were true, if only it were true, I'd be so happy, wouldn't you? If only it were true, if only it were true, if only it were true. I am a fisherman, so were my parents. Here in Cordova, on Prince William Sound, I'm not a tree hugger, but I love the mountains. And hauling in the gill net with the ocean all around, life was good here. You could raise a family with 100,000 tons of herring sent out every year. 1989, the tanker grounded. Nothing's ever been the same around here. Senator Stevens said, not one drop of oil would spill on Alaska's shores, and if it happened, it would be cleaned up. But our beaches were still covered, as was the ocean floor. 4 years passed, each run collapsed. It was then we knew for sure the herring weren't coming back. Exxon's promises of compensation were about as empty as a used up paper sack. It was August 20th, 1993, when we fishermen decided something must be done. We packed some groceries, we made some banners, headed out to Valdez Narrows beneath the midnight sun. 100 vessels took to the water, pushed through a storm and to the Valdez Sea. We lined up our boats, formed a blockade, and we waited for whatever might be. The tanker was approaching. It was a sight to see there in the twilight of the day. We saw it turning. We all cheered and cried as tanker after tanker after tanker turned away. A Coast Guard gunship from Seattle would take 3 days to get up to the Sound. We held the line till then. We went back home to Cordova, to this hallowed, oiled ground. I am a fisherman, so were my parents. Here in Cordova, on Prince William Sound.
Guitar tuner now. They finally make guitar tuners that work. It's a new invention. They've been working at it for decades, but eventually you figure they can make jet airplanes and nuclear bombs. Maybe they could make a guitar tuner that works. So I'm on a tour of Europe right now, and as you can tell, and it ends in June with the G8 protests in Ireland, and I planned it that way on purpose because I like protests, especially against the G8. And it's happening on an island off the coast of Ireland. And, of course, they have it on an island so that they can make sure nobody can come except for the people they want, unless you have a boat, which most people lack. Yeah. I'll do a song about 200 Irishmen who were some of the many who were drafted into the U.S. Army to invade Mexico in 1846, the first U.S. invasion of Mexico, the first of many. It's a true story. My name is John Riley. I'll have your ear only a while. I left my dear home in Ireland. It was death, starvation, or exile. When I got to America, it was my duty to go. Enter the army and slog across Texas to join in the war against Mexico. And it was there in the pueblos and hillsides that I saw the mistake I had made. Part of a conquering army with the morals of a bayonet blade. And there amidst all these poor dying Catholics, screaming children, the burning stench of it all, myself and 200 Irishmen decided to rise to the call. From Dublin City to San Diego, we witnessed freedom denied. So we formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. We formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. We marched neath the green flag of St. Patrick, emblazoned with Erin Goldbrown, bright with the harp and the shamrock, and Libertad para Republica. Just 50 years after Wolf Tone, 5,000 miles away, the Yanks called us a legion of strangers, and they can talk as they may. But from Dublin City to San Diego, we witnessed freedom denied. So we formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. We formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. We fought them in Matamoros, where their volunteers were raping the nuns. In Monterey and Cerro Gordo, we fought on as Ireland's sons. We were the red-headed fighters for freedom amidst these brown-skinned women and men. Side by side, we fought against tyranny, and I dare say we'd do it again. From Dublin City to San Diego, we witnessed freedom denied. So we formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. We formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. Battles. Churubusco was the last. Overwhelmed by the cannons from Boston, we fell after each mortar blast. Most of us died on that hillside at the service of the Mexican state.
so far from our occupied homeland. We were heroes and victims of fate. From Dublin City to San Diego, we witnessed freedom denied. So we formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. From Dublin City to San Diego, we witnessed freedom denied. So we formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. We formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side.
I live in Portland, Oregon, on the west coast of the U.S., which may be the world's second coolest city after Berlin, at least as measured by the number of facial tattoos per capita. But it has a very dark side to it, which is represented by one statistic, which is the fact that the police in Portland kill more black men per capita than any other city in the United States. And so I wrote this song to try to warn people who might be thinking of moving to Portland, just what they have to watch out for, which is the police. Portland is a town that's in the news much of the time. There are a lot of vegans and there's very little crime. It's a nice safe place to live, folks ride bicycles a lot. The winters aren't so cold and the summers aren't so hot. They build houses out of cob, they hang out in the park, where you needn't worry about walking after dark. There are lots of homeless people, but they don't hurt no one. Just be careful of the boys in blue playing with their guns. Yeah, watch out for the cops. That's the chorus. Watch out for the cops. Watch out for the cops. Watch out for the cops. You can hang out with the punks with the piercings and tattoos. You can eat out at a food truck, any neighborhood you choose. You can dance to Balkan music while you drink a microbrew, chilling in a gay bar with the mayor and his crew. But be careful what you say, be prepared to take some flack, especially for those who may be male, young, and black. The fact is you do better in Sweet Home Alabama. You're safer there on the old streets of Birmingham. Yeah, watch out for the cops. 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 Yes, Portland's full of roses, there are flowers everywhere. But for others, they've got prisons with some nice electric chairs. You can go downtown, ride the buses there for free, but you never know when you'll get a DWB. A town full of progressives, but such a rotten bunch of cops. Who knows who'll get shot at the next routine traffic stop? When you live in a place like Portland, where they tend to act this way, you can just join the police force instead of the KKK. Yeah, watch out for the cops. 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 A few years ago, on the anniversary of the Cuban Missile Crisis, there were a bunch of Americans and Russians and Cubans who met in Havana to have a conference, and all people that were directly involved with the missile crisis, plus other people who wanted to go to the conference, such as Noam Chomsky, who wrote about it. And we people of the world found out for the first time that the Cold War, as they called it, became a very hot war for one day in 1962 on October 27th. And on that day, everybody in Germany and everybody in Western and Eastern Europe and the southern half of the U.S. nearly died. And the reason that we are here today is because of a Russian nuclear submarine commander named Vasily Arkhipov, a name that everybody should know. Beach Boys were playing on the radio. The Beatles were singing Love Me Do. Lolita was playing in the cinemas. It was October 1962. Ken Kesey published One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. John Glenn orbited the Earth. Australia had just won the most gold medals at the Commonwealth Games in Perth. The Boomers were just getting into high school. Dylan first sang Blowin' in the Wind. The U.S. Army had just started their war against the Viet Minh. On the day Vasily saved the world. If I Had a Hammer was in the Billboard charts. An Air Force jet crashed into the sea. The first black student had been admitted to Ole Miss University. Hewlett-Packard sold a personal computer, but it wouldn't really take off for a while. Jackie had just come back from a trip to India, plunging necklines for the latest summer style. Algeria had just won her independence. Korea was rebuilding from the war. The Russian River had just flooded a couple of weeks before. On the day Vasily saved the world. The U.S. was conducting Operation Mongoose, killing Cubans in their factories and streets. The U.S. was gearing up for an invasion, still smarting from the Bay of Pigs defeat. The Soviets had sent missiles to Havana to protect themselves and their Cuban friends. Navy blockaded Cuba's harbors, and there was no telling how this thing would end. Khrushchev got on TV and made it very clear Cuba was a sovereign state. And if our ships are attacked, we will retaliate. On the day Vasily saved the world. Vice Admiral Vasily Arkhipov was standing at his post on a Soviet Navy submarine. They were on patrol in international waters, one actor in a terrifying scene. They were out of radio contact, deep beneath the water, when the sub began to shake and crack. The captain said, "Arm the nuclear torpedoes. We're under attack." The Americans were bombing them, but in order to respond, three officers had to give the go. Two were in agreement, but for some reason, the Vice Admiral said no. On the day Vasily that saved the world. On the day Vasily saved the world. I think it's good for people not to take themselves too seriously sometimes. And I wrote this song about many of my friends, and I was worried that I would alienate them and lose a lot of my gigs. But instead, they really liked the song, and I was very happy about that. And it's now probably the most requested song that I get when I'm playing in anarchist squats in Denmark and Berlin and Switzerland. And if the anarchist squats had a Billboard chart, then I think this song might be number 18. I don't drive a car because they run gas, but if I did, it'd run on biomass. I ride a bike or sometimes a skateboard, so piss off all you drivers and your yuppie hordes sitting all day in the traffic queues. I'm a better anarchist than you. I don't eat meat. I just live on moldy chives or the donuts that I found in last week's dumpster dives. Look, you people in that restaurant, I think you are so sad when you could have been eating bagels like the ones that I just had. I think it is a shame all the bourgeois things you do. I'm a better anarchist than you. I don't wear leather, and I like my clothes in black, and I made a really cool hammock from a moldy coffee sack. I like to hop on freight trains. I think that is so cool. It's so much funner doing this than being stuck in school. I can't believe you're wearing those brand new shiny shoes. I'm a better anarchist than you. I don't have sex, and there will be no sequel, because heterosexual relationships are inherently unequal. I'll just keep on moshing to anti-flag and crass until there are no differences in gender, race, or class. All you brainwashed breeders, you just haven't got a clue. I'm a better anarchist than you. I don't believe in leaders. I think consensus is the key. I don't believe in stupid notions like representative democracy. Whether or not it works, I know it is the case that only direct action can save the human race. So when I see you in your voting booth, then I know it's true. I'm a better anarchist than you. I am not a pacifist. I like throwing bricks, and when the cops have caught me and I've taken a few licks, I always feel lucky if I get a bloody nose, because I feel so militant and everybody knows. By the time the riot is all through, I'm a better anarchist than you. I'm a better anarchist than you. When Daniel Ellsberg defected from the Nixon administration and released to the world the Pentagon Papers, he brought down the government of the United States. And now the times are a bit different, and Bradley Manning was responsible for the biggest leak of secret information in the history of the world, and now he is in prison, and he did not bring down the government brought him into prison. And But all that we know, or much of what we know about the war crimes committed by the United States in Iraq and Afghanistan and elsewhere, we know because of because of what Bradley Manning did, which was to steal 500,000 pages of secret documents from the U.S. military in Baghdad and send it over to WikiLeaks. And he sent it to WikiLeaks because none of the major media in the U.S. was interested in it. Manning was an analyst. If what they say is true, he was paid to read reports, find the patterns sifting through. As he read the data, the patterns did emerge. Patterns that were clear both before and since the surge. Patterns of abuse of the most horrific kind. Gunning down civilians out of view and out of mind. Gunning down the opposition in the middle of the night. Sending off the scholars to be tortured out of sight. Sometimes you need desperate measures when you live in desperate times. Private Manning saw he was looking at war crimes. He wondered what to do to allow the dead to speak. He finally decided to contact WikiLeaks. Now it's all out on the table and everybody knows. The emperor is naked, he's not wearing any clothes. Adrian Lamo has to live within his skin. He stabbed Bradley in the back, called the cops and turned him in. But not before the soldier took 500,000 files. If you printed all the pages, they'd stretch on for miles. Evidence against the state, right from the horse's mouth. Machinations in the west, bombings in the south. A treasure trove of details for all the globe to see. How much they need to lie and kill for democracy. How many drone strikes have hit villages, leaving everyone to die. They blamed on someone else, the official lie, not I. How many coups have been plotted by ambassadors who say that free and fair elections be the order of the day. Now it's all out on the table and everybody knows. The emperor is naked, he's not wearing any clothes. Now the genie's out of the bottle and they're trying to stuff it back and stop it from illuminating everything we lack, such as the rule of law or playing by the book. Look and read it, it's right here. The ship of state is run by crooks and they vilify the messengers, call him every name for daring to blow the whistle in the nature of their game, the game of taking lives and endangering the rest in order for the wealthy few to do what they do best, dominate the world for the corporate elite. But now their cover's blown from their head down to their feet. And now the stars and stripes is looking much more like a rag. The lid is off the box, the cat's out of the bag. Now it's all out on the table and everybody knows. The emperor is naked, he's not wearing any clothes. It's all out on the table and everybody knows. The emperor is naked, he's not wearing any clothes. I'll do one more, and then we'll take ein bisschen Pause, and then we'll do it again with different songs. And I'll close this set with this song, which I wrote during the Occupy Wall Street movement 2 years ago, when the media was talking about the division of wealth in the U.S., between the rich and the poor, more than they had done in many, many decades. But after each article about the division of wealth, there would be another article about how confused the Occupy Wall Street movement was. And the evidence of this confusion was that most of the Occupy activists were thinking about more than one thing at the same time. For example, they thought that we should tax the rich and house the homeless and feed them. You know, that's three things right there. So so that clearly shows how confused we were, apparently. So I wrote this song to try to explain just why these things might actually be related. Because this is where they buy the politicians. Because this is where power has its seat. Because 99% of us are suffering at the mercy of the madmen on this street. Because all of us are victims of class warfare being waged on us by the 1%. Because these greedy banksters rob the country, leaving us without the means to pay the rent. Because the last time that we had a decent government was about 1932. Because we the people are supposed to run this country, but instead it's all run by and for the few. Because now we know the rich do not pay taxes, but when they need a hand, it's us who bail them out. Because we suspected we lived in a plutocracy, but suddenly of late there is no doubt. So we're gonna stay right here. We're gonna stay right here. Because both my parents lost their savings. Because I have never opened an account. Because the interest on my credit card just doubled, and now I can't pay the minimum amount. Because these budget cuts are just immoral, with our schools as overcrowded as they are. Because there are no buses where I live, but I can't afford to drive a car. Because so many of us don't have health insurance. Because the rest of us have it, but it sucks. Because the rich are flying in their private jets, while the rest of us are slogging through the muck. Because capitalism isn't working. This system has just failed to produce. Because the 1% are prospering, while the rest of us just suffer their abuse. So we're gonna stay right here. We're gonna stay right here. Because it has been demonstrated amply that the winners are the ones who stick around. Because this world should belong to everyone, not just the banksters who would smash it to the ground. Because we've noticed voting doesn't change things when the politicians are mostly millionaires. Because we're learning how to stand up like Tunisians, like they did in Tahrir Square, where a young man named Mohammed Bouazizi struck a match that lit up all the earth. And all around the world the spell was broken, and a movement for the future was in birth. Because there's only so much shit the rich can feed us before we figure out which side we're on. Because we've learned if we want our liberation, it will only come if we stay here till the rising of the dawn. So we're gonna stay right here. We're gonna stay right here. Because corporations are not people, and we can't just let them choose. Because if we leave our fate to them, then all of us will surely lose. Because the climate clock is ticking, and we can't just leave our world behind.
because corporate rule isn't working. And it's time for humans' hearts and minds, because you can't take it with you, because the rich just do not care, because it doesn't matter how much you make, but how much you can share. Because these moments don't come often, because we want truly to be free, because we know what really matters, something called society. So we're gonna stay right here. We're gonna stay right here. We're gonna stay right here. We're gonna stay right here.
So, 10 minutes.